morning, everybody. Yes, I am here. And as you can hear, the throat is a little bit rough. But yeah, I'm here and ready to go. Another great new show. And it's going to be an action-packed show this week, folks. We're going to be talking a little bit about Denmark today. Another one of my travel shows. And, of course, good luck to the very great Chris Reardon, who is heading off now for his holiday in 4 weeks in Australia. God, that's a long time. That's going to seem like forever that with no Chris Reardon here to make fun of here on United Kingdom Radio, because he'll be off having a good time in Australia. So, yes, hello, everybody. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And it is 10.03 a.m. here in Chicago, and, of course, that's 4.03 p.m. over there in the U.K. And, I do have a lot to talk about regarding what's been going on the last week for me. However, all I'm going to say right now is that, yes, I've been through all my medical tests, all that fun stuff. It was not a brilliant experience, but we're not going to talk about that this week. We're actually going to talk about that on the next show. And the reason why is because I have so much to talk about on this show. So we'll get to that next week, folks. And you know, you can put your minds at ease. I'm going to live. Okay? That's all I really need to say right now. Just checking in on the Skype here. Nobody seems to have I have a lot of messages here, but they're all for Chris. None of them are for me. So for anybody out there who is listening, of course, can feel free to contact the show if they want to, especially if they'd like to talk about Denmark. And they can call in, of course. The phone number is 020-3287-1488. That is a local London number, not a premium rate number. And you can telephone on that number, or indeed you can Skype in at the normal Skype address, which is United Kingdom Radio. So please feel free to contact the show at any time. So first of all, I want to start out by welcoming all of our friends over at our new, brand new, spanking new sister station, You Love It, We Play It.com. New arrangement here, sister station. They do music and chat. Welcome to everybody out there, because sounds like it could be an exciting experience. Some of our presenters are over there actually doing music shows, and good for them. Music shows, not really my thing. But I have done so. Did actually do my old radio show, my old goth industrial dark ambient radio show back on ACRN Radio, the Rock Lobster, way back about 10 years ago now. Did rather enjoy it, actually, during the time. But, you know, I had the worst time slot known to man. It was Friday night, well, not really Saturday morning, from midnight to 2 a.m. That's like the worst time slot ever. and I think you know why, because all of my audience, all of the college kids who were out there were actually going out to the bars. They weren't in their dorm rooms or in their apartments listening to the radio. They were all out having drinking. Bob Idano says, I'm glad you're not dead yet. Yeah, I am too, Bob. And thank you for the sentiment. I think everything is going to be okay. They didn't find anything that was particularly worrying, but I do have kind of a raw throat from having this thing stuck down my throat, and I was not actually awake for it. They gave you a sedative that makes you sleep, not like a sedative where you'd have during surgery where you're actually unconscious. It was just like a sleeping mixture, and it made you go to sleep. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that now. I do have a fair amount of audio that I recorded over the last week as I was preparing for the procedure, but I don't have time because it's over 15 minutes long, and I don't want to take up a quarter of this show on that because we have a lot to get to. Anyway, we're going to move on here. I want to, first of all, say a very, very happy birthday to Suko, who is 39 today, I believe. I think it's 39 today, Suko is. So very, very happy birthday to Suko. One of our presenters here on United Kingdom Radio loves Suko and love her show. And I don't always get to listen live, but, I do enjoy her program. So feel free to tune in, of course, to Suko's show, because she is on Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time. Just before Stacey White, and then next is Paul Edwards. So, it's a very full Sunday lineup. Saturdays are going to seem very lonely with Chris on vacation. I'm going to be the only one here. And that's kind of how it started, folks. When I first started doing the show now, almost a year ago, it'll be a year in April. When I first started doing this show on United Kingdom Radio, I was the only show on Saturday. And then very quickly thereafter, we got a few. So anyway, moving right along, I'm going to go ahead and move on to Today in History. Let me get my music up here. Yes, I'm not really prepared. I'm sorry. There we go. We're going to talk about Vikings today. So this is very, very timely here. Today in history, it'll be January the 8th. I don't even know what day it is. January the 8th in history. In 794, the Vikings attacked Lindisfarne Island off the coast of Ireland. A big slaughter there, incidentally. In 871, the Battle of Ashdown, my ancestor, Ethelred of Wessex, defeated the Danish invasion army. In 1656... the oldest surviving commercial newspaper began. This was in the Netherlands, in Haarlem. In 1675, the first American commercial corporation was chartered, and that was the New York Fishing Company. In 1838, the first telegraph message was sent using dots and dashes. That, I don't think that was Morse code yet. I think that was an earlier version of what became Morse code later. In 1918, the state of Mississippi became the first state to ratify the 18th Amendment to the United States Constitution, that being the later overturned amendment that banned alcohol. That was the Prohibition Amendment. In 1926, Abdul Aziz ibn Saud became the king of the Hejaz and renamed it Saudi Arabia. In 1940, during World War II, Britain began its first rationing program, rationing butter, bacon, and sugar. That sounds like Fagash Lil's entire diet, except for the diet water. 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson here in the U.S. declared the war on poverty. And since poverty has been completely wiped out, we do know how successful that was. In 1992... American President George Bush Sr. became ill and vomited on the Japanese Prime Minister's lap. Oh, gosh. Talk about embarrassing. 1998, the World Trade Center bomber Ramzi Ahmed Youssef was sentenced to life in prison for his role in the 1993 attack against the World Trade Center. Famous birthdays on January 8th include Henry V, the Holy Roman Emperor, reigned from 1098 to 1125 CE. In 1904, cartoonist Peter Arno, very well-known cartoonist of the 1930s, was born in New York. And Suko would probably know who that is. He did a lot of cartoons for the New Yorker magazine. He's considered one of the very classic New Yorker cartoonists. In 1908, for you Doctor Who fans here, William Hartnell was born in London, England. William Hartnell, of course, being the very first Doctor Who. And, of course, was a star of a lot of other movies and things back in the 50s as well. In 1923, Larry Storch was born, the comedian from F Troop. I don't really think he would be very well known outside of the United States. But anyway, also in 1926, Milton Hines was born in North Carolina. Now, Milton Hines is better known under his stage name, Soupy Sales. Another one that you Brits probably don't know. 1934, Roy Kinnear, the actor, was born in Lancashire, England. He was, of course, very well known. He was in The Three Musketeers, of course, and indeed in the Beatles movie Help. 1935, Elvis Presley was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. Yeah, this is a great, great week for birthdays. Today was a great day for birthdays, I have to say. All these really, really stellar people born. So anyway, Elvis was born today in Tupelo, Mississippi. We all know who Elvis is, of course. 1937, Chris Reardon's favorite singer, Shirley Bassey, was born in Cardiff, Wales. Goldfinger. Yeah, I'm not going to even try with this throat. In 1938, Bob Eubanks was born in Flint, Michigan. He was a TV game show host here in the States, best known for hosting The Newlywed Game. 1941, Graham Chapman was born, a member of the Monty Python's Flying Circus troupe, also known for writing Doctor in the House and that entire series. Was actually a medical student before he turned to comedy, so... Graham Chapman, that is, born in 1941. 1942, one of my favorite people, the physicist Stephen Hawking was born, author of A Brief History of Time, and of course, Black Holes and Baby Universes. Should have hit the button there. 1946, Robbie Krieger from The Doors, the guitarist from The Doors, was born. Another favorite birthday of mine, 1947, David Bowie was born. David Jones in London, England. Singer, actor, all-around great guy. Love David Bowie. 1948, Paul King from the Blister Cult was born. And in 1969, R. Kelly, the rapper, was born. All right. So that is today's birthdays. And of course, can't forget, the lovely and talented Suco Sullivan was born today. So, there you go. That was Today in History. Bob Fagashlow asks, when did Lindisfarne move off the coast of Ireland? Hasn't it always been off the coast of Ireland? That's interesting. I thought it was always there. Excuse me a second. I need to have a quick clearing of the throat. Yeah, that is the problem when they stick something down your throat the way they did, and it's very, very kind of rough. Wayne is saying, Tom, I can't listen to your show live at the moment. No listening function working on the site. Oh. Well, it should be going out live here on United Kingdom Radio, Wayne. If you go to the website and click the Listen Live button, you should be getting it coming over loud and clear. Same place that you were listening to Chris. Should be where it is. Really not sure. Yeah, other people seem to be able to hear me, so just going to move on. All right, so so that was all very very exciting this week, and getting all that procedures and all that done. But it has just been a drain, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week on the program, and play out the audio that I recorded, which I am referring to as Movie Prep Theater, and you'll be able to hear that next week on the show. It's a little something to listen forward to. So something else interesting happened this week, and that is I had an email on, I think it was on Tuesday, from a theater company here in Chicago, and they wanted to, I wasn't really sure what they wanted when they first contacted me, and I guess they're thinking that my show has millions of listeners all over the world, and that it would be a great idea to take Tom Harris USA or Tom Harris Live and put it live on stage. And as intriguing an idea as that is, really, seriously, I have probably listeners, numbering in the hundreds, certainly not in the thousands. And I'm racking my brain. I don't even know that I have more than one or two listeners in all of Chicagoland. So I think it would be really, really odd to try to actually take the show live on stage, and it should be to rent out a theater and actually do the show live on stage with a studio audience. But I'm really, really flattered that they would have thought of me, of all people. And maybe, you know, when they're looking for podcasters who might be interested in that, maybe my name is the first name that came up. I don't know. Very, very strange. But, you know, I do want to thank them for thinking of me, but there's no way in hell I could fill a theater. There's no way. Very, very, very strange. Oh, Bob, I don't know, is correcting me here. The Lindisfarne Island is off the coast of Northumberland. Oh, okay. I do stand corrected. I do stand corrected. Bob can hear the show. So I wonder, Wayne Hudson is having trouble hearing the show. So I don't know why that is. Very, very strange. Anyway, so I thought that was really, really interesting that somebody would actually come to me and want to talk about doing a show on stage. Very, very strange idea. If I had more listeners, I'd certainly consider it. But as it stands, certainly that's not a very feasible. Hopefully Wayne will contact with us because I don't actually know how to help him. If anybody else has had the similar offer to that, I'd be very, very surprised. Chris Rudin is saying the listen is working fine. Okay. If somebody could give Wayne Hudson a shout here and see if he can see if you can help him out. Apparently he can't hear me. Anyway, we're going to talk about Denmark now because I have a lot to talk about. Now, interestingly enough, I've been to Denmark probably more times than I've been to most other European countries. And the reason why is because Denmark, to me, has traditionally been a crossroad. It's sort of a place where I would make a connection. I would take the train through, you know, Copenhagen up into Sweden to go to Finland. And I've been to Finland 4 or 5 times. And always, of course, and I think all but one of those times actually went through Denmark to get there. And that's, of course, because you go through, because Denmark being this series of peninsulas and islands, you have to go that, it's sort of the gateway to Sweden. Most of the time I would take the train, we'd go through Copenhagen, and I actually spent a few days there, not a lot of time there. But finally, in 1999, my best friend Paul and I, who we often have traveled together in the past, we did sort of a little tour of Scandinavia, just the two of us. We did through Sweden and through Norway, and down into Denmark. Now, we, of course, started out in Finland, so you know, obviously we were there to begin with. And then I actually kind of got to see a little bit more of Denmark. And you know, my impressions of Denmark have always been, it's a beautiful country. A lot of, you know, sort of rolling hills, very sort of maritime-looking country. A lot of islands and the sea, and just a lovely setting there. Now, Denmark, of course, is a very, very important historically because Denmark is the homeland of the German ancestry and the German culture. All of the following tribes got their start in the area of Denmark: the Franks, the Burgundians, the Jutes, and the Norse, all of whom trace back to the area of what is now Denmark. So in the 9th and 10th centuries, people from Denmark, the Vikings, of course, invaded and settled in parts of Western Europe all the way down to North Africa and Turkey. There are rune carvings made in the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, which used to be, of course, at that time, Constantinople. They were great traders and explorers, and of course they founded the Danelaw, Northern England, of course the area of York and all that. And then later were granted the Duchy of Normandy. So of course William the Conqueror was in fact descended from Vikings, they called them the Normans, but the Norman of course he harks back to the fact that they are Norsemen. They are from the north. They are from Scandinavia. So there's a lot going on here. This is a very important part. The Danish exodus, you know, peopled, you know, of course, Normandy in the north of France, most people in Germany and Benelux countries, and indeed many people in Norway and places like that. There's a lot of you know, people who are, of course, descended from the Danes. The Danish royal family is probably the oldest European monarchy that has reigned uninterrupted back to the legendary kings of antiquity, but of course the first official king going back to 934 CE. And of course his direct descendant, Queen Margaret II, is the Queen of Denmark to this day. Between 1397 and 1524, the entirety of Scandinavia, excluding Finland, excluding most of Finland, I should say, was unified under Danish rule with Copenhagen as the capital. And then, of course, after that, the Denmark-Norway Union, including Iceland and Greenland, lasted until 1814. So there's, of course, lots of other facts about Denmark here. The Danish Prince Hamlet, the fictional character of William Shakespeare's famous play, was inspired by an old Danish myth of the Viking prince Amled of Jutland. And that, of course, you know, Elsinore is a corruption of the word Helsingør, which is a Danish city that actually where you had to cross over between Denmark and Sweden. You would actually get on in Helsingør and off in Helsingborg over in Sweden. There are 443 named islands in Denmark, 76 of which are inhabited. The country's average height above sea level is only 31 meters, very low, and the highest natural point is only 170.86 meters. Danish men marry the oldest of all Europeans, average 32 years old, getting married. I think that's about right. I think everybody should wait till 32 to get married. I really do. Several separate studies, have ranked the Danish people as the happiest in the EU and the second happiest people in the world. The World Audit ranked Denmark as the world's most democratic and the least corrupt country in 2008. Is also second in the world for freedom of the press. And 2007 UNICEF report on child well-being ranked Denmark as the third best country overall after the Netherlands and Sweden. According to the World Health Organization 2002 statistics, Danish women have the lowest incidence of obesity in the EU. And Denmark has had no less than 14 Nobel Prize winners, including 4 in literature, 5 in physiology and medicine, and 1 Nobel Peace Prize. Its population of 5 million, it is one of the highest per capita ratios of any country in the world for Nobel Prize winners. Denmark has the highest employment rate in Europe of 75% and enjoys the third highest gross domestic product per capita in the European Union after Luxembourg and Ireland. I think that might be a little out of date. And as of December 2005, Denmark had the highest percentage of broadband subscriptions in the world, with about 32% of the population connected to broadband. Denmark has, along with Sweden and Hungary, the highest standard VAT in the world, 25%. I believe that now the UK has 25% VAT as well. Of course, Denmark leads the world in plastic building block technology. Yeah, Lego is a Denmark Danish it's a Denmark company. we have a call coming in here. Hello on Skype.
Right, so talking there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Ross. How are you?
That's Ross Pretzel.
It's Ross Pretzel. So
I'm babysitting Emily the baby while Donna's listening to football.
All right. Okay. Fantastic.
You know your show's on now at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Uh huh.
That is the perfect time. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because people like me who can't stand football, we come and listen to Tom Harris from Chicago.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah.
So you're the official we don't like football show. Yeah, That's great. So people like me don't like football. Your show is perfect. I've got Emily here. She's sitting with me. And she's doing her first ever Skype call to a talk radio show. So
fantastic.
Do you want to talk to her?
Of course.
All right. She's actually trying to lick the microphone.
Oh,
which
great.
Is normally the idea. I do say to people, you shouldn't lick it. You should actually talk. So what's your topics today? And she might reply.
We're talking about Denmark today.
What do you think of Denmark, Emily? Let Tom Harris know. Talk to Tom. Gaga? Could be here a while, there.
I'm guessing so.
What's your views on Denmark, Emily? What's your views on Denmark? He's only here for an hour, so hurry up, there.
Has she been to Denmark?
Have you been to Denmark? No. No, but she's watched me eat bacon from Denmark. Does that count?
I suppose that counts, yeah, sure.
That's got to be the finest export from Denmark, isn't it?
Denmark is well known for their bacon and their ham, which seems incredible, doesn't it?
Yeah. You're not a vegetarian, are you?
I am a vegetarian. Yeah.
So you've never had the pleasure of eating a lovely bacon roll?
I have not for many, many years. I'll put it that way.
But you have tried bacon.
Oh yeah.
So what made you not want to eat meat anymore then?
Well, that's not really talking about Denmark, is it, sir?
Did you change your mind not to eat meat while you're in Denmark?
No. I became a vegetarian about the age of 15, so it was a long time ago. Oh. And I've just kind of stuck with it ever since.
All right. Is Denmark where the people have clogs and they dance around in their clogs? Is that Denmark?
No, that's in the Netherlands, I'm afraid.
Oh, the Netherlands. Oh, right, okay. How are you then? Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Been doing a lot of stuff this week and a lot of medical type stuff.
Yeah. There we go. Uncle Tom.
Hello, Emily.
Talk to Uncle Tom. Say hello. She's not much of a caller, is she? She's actually very disappointed as a radio caller. She's not going to be following in the footsteps of her geeky dad.
Well, give her another year or so and you won't be able to shut her up.
That's what she thinks of that.
Yeah.
It's Chris Redden back on.
Chris is off on vacation for 4 weeks and go off to Australia again.
Again?
Yeah.
God, he's always an immigrant over there. He's always there. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to say about Australia. He's not going to Queensland, is he?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him.
Have you seen the news this week?
Oh, with all the floods and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That looks awful, don't it?
It does. I don't think he's going to that part of Queensland, though.
Yeah. Oh, God, I was kind of hope not. Blimey.
Anyway, Ross, I do need to go, but thanks very much for calling.
Well, have you got loads of other people calling in?
I have a lot to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right then, mate. All the best. Oh, happy birthday to Suko.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure Suko thanks you as well.
Thank you. Bye. Goodbye, Tom. Have a lovely afternoon
you
or
too.
Morning.
Bye, Emily. And that was Ross Patzelt there. Not actually listening to the show, probably. Wayne is apologizing for not being able to listen. Oh, that's okay, Wayne. I do understand. We're going to go back here. Back to the subject of Denmark. Good God. I'm kind of running behind now. So I was just saying Legos. Legos, of course, from Denmark. Denmark also being the home of the original Legoland, which I haven't been to. You know, they have a miniature Legoland at the Mall of the Americas in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I've been to that Legoland. But that is actually the only one I've been to. Moller Maersk is headquartered in Copenhagen, is the largest container ship operator and supply vessel operator in the world. It employs over 100,000 people in 125 countries. And, of course, Denmark is also the home of two very popular beer brands, Carlsberg and Tuborg. Actually, it was at the Tuborg distillery or brewery. I guess they call it a brewery when it's beer. Back in about, I think 1988 was my first time in Copenhagen. The Øresund Bridge, which links Denmark and Sweden, was opened in 1999, and I haven't actually been there since then. Is over 16 kilometers long. It's a combined tunnel and bridge. There are four road lines and two rail lines. It used to be that you had to take the train to Helsingør, and then they would put the train on a boat, And you would take the boat over the water to Helsingborg over in Sweden, and then they would take the train. And I guess now they could just go right across. And I can remember the last time I was over there and I took that rail line. They were building that bridge, and we were, you know, kind of the whole way there from the deck of the ferry, we could see that they were building this very, very long bridge. So, pretty cool stuff that is. Bob, I don't know, is saying the reason the obesity rates are so low in Denmark is that they export all the butter and bacon to the rest of us. I think you're right. I do think you're right about that, Will. That's probably true. You know, I was going to make a kind of a snarky comment about DAC canned ham, because that is kind of the stereotypical Danish food here in the States. And I don't even think they make that in Denmark. I think that's actually made here by Hormel or something, you know, here in the U.S. And I'm going to talk very briefly about famous people from Denmark, and I'm going to take just a real quick little break. Famous Danes include the astronomer Tycho Brahe, very, very interesting character he is. King Christian IV, who burned the city of Kalmar. That was suggested to me by Stephen Parker, who lives in Kalmar. The philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, the writer of Out of Africa, the Baroness Karen von Blixen-Finnecke, who actually wrote under the name of Isak Dinesen. Lars von Trier, the film director. Of course, the great Dane himself, comedian, pianist Victor Borge. You know, old people will remember who Victor Borge is. The actress Birgit Nielsen. And the drummer of Metallica, Lars Ulrich. And, of course, one of the most famous Denmark natives of all, the author Hans Christian Andersen. Talk about overhype. I have to say, I have to comment on this before I take my little break, that, Hans Christian Andersen is worshipped by the Danes. It seems that to me anyway. I don't know about the people of Denmark in general, but certainly the Danish tourist industry has gotten so much mileage out of Hans Christian Andersen. And in particular, that awful movie with Danny Kaye that came out in 1953. And I have great respect for Danny Kaye as a comedian, etc. But that movie was horrible. It purported to be the biography of Hans Christian Andersen. It's completely made up. So you can tell I'm not a big fan of that movie. But you know, everywhere I went back in my first time in Copenhagen. And by the way, you notice I don't say Copenhagen. And that's sort of a pet peeve of mine, is that I don't like the saying Copenhagen. The name of the city, folks, is Copenhagen. That's how they spell it. I don't know where they get this weird... it's sort of like Gothenburg in Sweden, which, Sweden, of course, is not anything like Gothenburg. It's Göteborg. Anyway, pet peeve of mine... And Hans Christian Andersen, I think, highly overrated. I mean, very sort of charming little fairy tales that he wrote, some of which were kind of ripped off from older tales before him. But that is the way the folklorists are. I mean, they do kind of take the oral traditions of the past and they sort of put their own little twist on them. And unfortunately, I think in the case of Andersen, that he took sort of these old tales and he kind of made them sweeter, if you know what I mean, and I don't really care for that. Anyway, I'm going to take a very, very brief break here. I'm going to play a couple of trails, and I will be right back.
Hello there.
Yeah, don't worry about us. We're fine.
We're just here, though, to let you know that we've got our very own talk show on United Kingdom Radio each Friday night between 8 and 9 p.m. We'll chat about the week's events and have a few games to really get your minds thinking. So go on, keep us company. That's me, Terry Turner.
And me, Travis Mitchell. Fridays from 8 p.m. on United Kingdom Radio.
Hello, Chris Reardon here. I hope you enjoy our shows here at United Kingdom Radio. A bit of fundraising now for the station. If you fancy a bit of music in your life, then why not try one of my weekly non-stop music mixes? All music, no talking. You can get a new one each week and download them from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. For just 80 pence UK, that's about $1.30 US, they are over 75 minutes long and contain some of the brand new club tunes around at the moment in the UK. Download them now from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. My weekly mixes, just 80 pence. www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk.
United Kingdom Radio have teamed up with a brand new online internet radio music service called
You Love It, We Play It,
aimed at the over 25s and featuring some presenters that present right here on United Kingdom Radio. So if you've had enough of all that rabbit. Thank you, Chaz and Dave. Then try our brand new music service at www.youloveitweplayit.com.
And we are back. Hello, everybody. For the second half of the show here, going to talk a little bit about my particular experiences in Denmark. And, of course, if anybody wants to chime in, they should feel free to do so. The Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. And you can even call in at 020-3287-1488. All right. So for most of us, and I think certainly for me, and I'm traveling around in Europe, I'm going from place to place. And Copenhagen, as I said, was a big crossroads for me. Sometimes I would stay there for a night or two. Sometimes I wouldn't. But really didn't get to know the city that well until about 1999. And that, of course, is when my best friend Paul and I visited. And we were there for nearly a week. Now, one of the reasons why we were there for nearly a week was because during the course of our Scandinavian trip, Paul had decided that he was going to get a tattoo. And there was a particular person who, a tattoo artist in Copenhagen, which I guess it had been recommended to him. And so he wanted to make an appointment with her and have her do it. Now, what he ended up having done was this sort of armband, beautiful, you know, tattoo armband around it as, I think it's his left arm, right arm. I'm not sure. It's one of his arms. It's either the left or the right arm. I'm not really sure which. Found out very, very quickly after having that done why it's a lousy idea to get a tattoo while you're on vacation. Well, the biggest reason, of course, is because it's hard to keep it moisturized. When you're out hiking and you have a backpack on and you're, you know, going from place to place, and it gets to be kind of a chore to actually keep it clean, keep it moisturized, and you need to do that with the tattoo. And so, of course, there was probably a little more scabbing and so forth than he would have normally had. But anyway, that's why it's a lousy idea to get a tattoo on your vacation. I would definitely say if you're going to do that, don't do it while you're backpacking, folks. Lousy idea. Anyway, but in 1999, we actually got to spend a little bit of time in Copenhagen, and I'd passed there before. Most of the times when I've been there, I've stayed at this place called the Sleep Inn in Vesterbro. Now, Vesterbro is across the canals in sort of downtown Copenhagen. And it's a giant sports hall. It's just sort of this big sports arena. And during the summer, it's a youth hostel. And they have the whole place divided up into cubicles, and much very much like an office cubicle, except a little bit larger, and each cubicle would sleep four people. And so the most of the times when I've been in Denmark, I've stayed in this sleep in Vesterbro. And I don't think I would stay there now, but certainly when I was younger, when I was younger and staying more in hostels than I am now, it was a very, very good location. It's close to the center of town. It's close to a lot of the nightlife. And getting around in Copenhagen is generally a pretty, pretty easy thing to do. One of the reasons why is because they have the free bicycle program. I don't know if they still have it today, but certainly back in the 80s and 90s, they had the free bicycle set up. And what this is that, say, you go and you'd get a, you know, they would have these public bicycle racks. And you go find the bicycle rack. You put your coin in. I think it's probably a euro coin now, but back at the time it was in, you know, Danish kroner. That would unlock the bicycle for you. Then you would get on the bike and try to ride away, only to discover that the bicycle was broken. And that would happen to me over and over again. But every once in a while, you would find a bicycle that wasn't broken. And it's actually a very, very nice way to get around because, you know, Copenhagen has, of course, a lot of very pedestrian-friendly areas and places where, you know, you can ride a bicycle. You know, streets where, you know, they're not open to motor traffic, but you can ride a bicycle. And, of course, the major roads have bike lanes. So you are actually, as a sightseer, very, very much able to kind of ride around and find, you know, see whatever you want to see on bike, you know, on having these free bicycles. Now, the problem, of course, is that the locals, the people who actually live in Denmark, you know, live in Copenhagen, actually take all the bicycles to work. So if you're trying to go downtown first thing in the morning, maybe 9 or 10 in the morning, and you want to go sightseeing, you actually are going to have a hard time finding any of these bicycles in working order without going downtown. And you have to go all the way downtown, and while you're down there, you're able to find them. But it's strange how, you know, they follow the kind of the ebb and flow of rush hour and that sort of thing. Copenhagen is a beautiful city. A lot of these beautiful buildings with these copper roofs, sort of green copper roofs. Of course, some of the notable sites in Copenhagen include the Amalienborg Palace. I actually thought Amalienborg Palace was a little bit boring, to be honest. Nobody lives there. It's used for state occasions. I'm sure it's very nice inside, but not very exciting from the outside. The National Gallery, of course, which is not far from there. A beautiful art museum. Fantastic collection. You cannot recommend it. If you're in Copenhagen, definitely check out the National Gallery. And, of course, you have The Little Mermaid. Now, I will go on record as saying I find The Little Mermaid very, very disappointing. Not because there's anything wrong with the statue. There really isn't. It's a nice little statue. But because its setting is right across from the Maersk terminals. So you have this, you know, nice little park. And this very small, I mean, honestly, it's a lot smaller than you'd think, statue of the Little Mermaid sitting on her rock out on the seafront. But behind her are these huge construction cranes and giant ships and the very industrial sort of background. And so my first time encountering this, I was kind of vaguely disappointed by it. Now, of course, the Little Mermaid is one of the most famous statues in the world. Has attracted its share of vandals. I know at some point her head had been chopped off. It's been stolen on a number of occasions. But more recently, they've actually been sending the Little Mermaid around on tour. And in 2010, they sent the Little Mermaid to China, to Shanghai. And she was there for a short while and then came back to Copenhagen. And I believe she's back in her little spot on the harbor. Now, apparently there were four copies of the statue made, all of which seemed to attract trouble. And the most recently, the one in Colorado here in the U.S. was stolen from the park. It was set in. I still don't know if they've recovered that. Or was it Utah? I'm sorry. It may have been in Utah. I always have trouble with those big square states, folks. So the Little Mermaid has definitely had her share of trials and tribulations. And yeah, but you know, seems to me, you know, it's a charming little statue, really. Why don't they take the statue and just put it in the museum? Because it's not really, I don't know, it's disappointing in its current setting. Maybe they want the poetry of the Little Mermaid staring off to sea. I don't know, you know, but it just seems to me that they could just solve a lot of that problem by taking her indoors, you know, maybe in the courtyard of the museum with a little pond or something that she could look out over. I don't know. Anyway, Denmark also has the one of the longest pedestrian shopping street in Europe, the Strøget. Trust me, I'm probably mispronouncing that. The Strøget. Very, very nice. And I found that in the various times that I've been in the Netherlands. Shame on me. In Denmark. I've actually found that a very enjoyable place to just kind of spend the day. Just window shopping, going up and down, and just seeing what I can see. There's a lot of going on, you know, especially during the summer. There's a lot of street musicians, a lot of these sort of entertainment options along there. Your normal high street stores, your fast food restaurants, a lot of that is there as well. But it is a sort of a lively place to go when the weather is nice, and get to experience just a little bit of, you know, the local nightlife and restaurants and so forth. So that is actually a place where I've spent a lot of time. I actually went out clubbing one night when Paul and I were there. And Paul didn't want to go, so I was just kind of going. I went out to one of the gay bars. Don't remember the name of it, to be quite honest. It was right off of the main square, sort of the main downtown square where the Peace Park is. And went in there and had a fantastic time. It's one of the few times in Europe when I actually met somebody, if you know what I mean. Copenhagen is definitely a city that I have enjoyed in the past. Another interesting thing about Copenhagen, in addition to the beautiful museums and the nightlife, is that you have quite an assortment of things to see. I mean, they do have a zoo. I didn't go there, but they do have a zoo. They have the Tuborg Brewery, which is just south of the downtown area. There is sort of a kind of a lively gay neighborhood, just kind of on the side of the downtown area. It's kind of a neat place, kind of very bohemian sort of place. And I have to say, it's a very laid-back kind of city. And, people didn't seem to be very uptight. People were very friendly, I found. There's your share of hucksters and that sort of thing. But you're going to find that in any large city. And Copenhagen is a large city. Now, the one thing that I think I've forgotten to talk about here, there's two things I've forgotten to talk about. First is Tivoli Garden. Now, this was actually recommended for me to talk about by our good friend Ian Duff. Hello, Ian. Who asked that I speak a little bit about Tivoli Garden. Now, Tivoli Garden is a amusement park. It is, in fact, the oldest amusement park in Europe, and it's also the largest amusement park it's the biggest amusement park in Europe. It is the oldest amusement park in the world. And it's said that Walt Disney actually got the inspiration for Disneyland from a visit to Tivoli Garden, at some point back in the 1950s, or 1940s probably. Now, I was not thrilled with Tivoli. Now, I have to say, I've been told, this is how it was put to me when I visited Copenhagen for the first time. They said, Tivoli Garden is an attraction that is enjoyable for young and old. I would tend to agree with that, as long as you're very young or very old. As an amusement park, it's not the most exciting place in the world. However, it is very charming, and obviously there are attractions that have been there for many, many years. They have the gardens themselves, because of course it is mainly a garden. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and it's a very relaxing place. The rides, if you're expecting something like Six Flags, it's not very exciting. A lot of the rides are what we would call here in the States a fairground ride. Oh, and they have the little miniature roller coasters, and they have the carousel, and they have the Tilt-A-Whirl, and they have things like that. It's not what I would call an amusement park in the modern sense of having giant roller coasters and fast rides. It's a lot more sedate than that. And it is the sort of place where people would take a pram and push their baby through the gardens. Or if you're old people, you go there during the day to sit somewhere pleasant and have an ice cream or a coffee and sit on a park bench and watch the world go by. That's the sort of garden it is. So as an amusement park, I didn't find it very exciting at all. But as a place to go and just kind of explore and relax, it's fine. Now, it is one of those places that you you are able to go in for free and to kind of wander around the grounds as you will. And if you want to go on a ride or attraction, then you actually would pay individually. Very old-fashioned sort of amusement park. But I guess that is because it is the oldest amusement park in the world. And I'm sure a lot of the other amusement parks did pattern themselves based on Tivoli Garden. But as far as being an attraction that's really worth the money, I would have to say that Tivoli Garden would not be my first choice. But certainly if you're there and you've never been to Copenhagen before and you're just starting to get your legs in the city, it's a great place to just go walk and have a look-see and maybe have an ice cream and, you know, just to see what it's like. So definitely not a place I'd go to again, though. Now, one of the interesting things that I did the last time I was in Copenhagen, this was after Paul and I had been there. I was actually passing through another time, heading back to the mainland part of Europe. And having passing through, I decided to go to Christiania. Now, Christiania, I'd found out about on one of my previous visits and just hadn't bothered going there. It's called the Free State of Christiania. And it's an old abandoned military base in Copenhagen. And this was invaded, I guess you could say, by a commune of hippies back in the 1960s. They took over this abandoned military base and they made it their own. They settled there. They were squatters, obviously. They built their own houses. They, you know, kind of have made this Christiania into a community of their own. Now, and it became, of course, had a very notorious sort of reputation back in the 70s for being a place with a lot of drug abuse, a lot of, very sort of hippie, sexual freedom and drug freedom and that. It's changed. You know, back when I was there in the 90s, it had definitely had changed. It's actually getting to a point now where in Christiania, there are three generations of Christianians living there. So you have the original hippies who are now in their 60s and 70s, and you have their children, and you have their grandchildren, and probably now even a fourth generation starting there. So it is very different than it used to be. The sort of liberal drug laws have been done away with, and now it's pretty much more in line with the rest of Denmark. So it's kind of lost what made it unique. But at the time, there were still a few hints here and there. An art gallery here, a coffee shop there. Of course, the main street through the town is called Pusher Street to this day. And during the time I was there, there were actually still people out selling, hashish and marijuana quite openly. Not that you would actually want to buy anything there, but I guess that the drug trade there went kind of bad during the late 90s and early 2000s when the real bad guys kind of tried to move in and take over. And so that has led to big changes in the way Christiania operates. But I found that very interesting. A nice little piece of history there. Something very unusual there, sort of right near the heart of Copenhagen. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, because I'm kind of getting short on time now, was the other parts of Denmark. Now, I have to say, talking about Denmark, mostly it's me passing through by train through this beautiful, pastoral scenery. But let's not forget that Denmark is a place with a lot of history and a lot of Stone Age through Iron Age, through medieval, through modern day. But for me, a lot of what Denmark represents is basically in Copenhagen. However, during the time when Paul and I were traveling there, we decided to do a little side trip. We went to its place called Lejre. Now, Lejre is west of Copenhagen. It's out in the middle of the countryside. And the reason why we went there is because there is a experimental archaeological study there. What they've done is that they've constructed an Iron Age village near Lejre, and people go there. They actually pay money, which not a lot of money. It's a very modest amount to live as Iron Age people lived. you know, they you know, farm like Iron Age people farmed. They, you know, they live in wattle and daub buildings. They do what Iron Age people did. And I found that this entire thing was incredibly interesting. There are ancient remains nearby because they know that Iron Age people lived in that area because they have the tombs, and they have, you know, evidence of in the bogs and, you know, the sacrifices and things there. And it's just a neat place to visit. And if you have the opportunity, it's L-E-J-R-E, Lejre. It's pronounced in Danish. Definitely worth a look. We went there. They had, of course, the farm buildings set up. And, you know, you don't obviously have to build your own house. But, you know, they would have the wattle and daub huts where the people lived. Weren't very many people staying there when we were there. I think it was after the season. It's you go there for a week or two. And you eat as they ate in the Iron Age, and we walked around there quite a bit and saw, you know, they had raised cattle and they were tanning leather and they were, you know, growing crops, and they have a very creepy little bog, which was used for sacrifices back in the Iron Age, and they actually still are doing that now as part of this project. They have animal sacrifices. And when we were there, they had sacrificed a couple of horses. And that was really, really interesting stuff. So certainly if you have an interest in Iron Age culture, you know, there's a lot of people who will talk to you about what they were doing, why they were doing it. And I don't remember it costing very much to get in. I think it cost about $5. To get in, look around, and not really do much. But, you know, it certainly is a reminder of how important Denmark has been as far as the culture goes. You know, the Vikings lived that way. People lived back they're all the way back to the Ice Age. So I thought that was really interesting. All right, well, I do need to cut it off now. Talk to you later. This is Tom at Tom Harris Live, signing off. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.